This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight, we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Schoaf went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I was taking a random picture, zoomed it in, and there it was. There was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the untouchable, and the unreliable.
The untouchable, okay, that would be like the mafia, and then the unreliable, right. That would be the government. Right?
I guess so, yeah.
I don't know. Just kind of make it up as we go.
That's right.
Johnny and Billy here. We talk UFOs, alien abduction, ghosts, near death. Cryptozoology, including Sasquatch and Dogman and Dogface. And
what other the kind of dog?
We had Mick Jones, former Air Force, on the show last week. And this week, we have nobody on the show.
We have us.
Yeah, you and I. You died. I'm a Bigfoot guy.
Yeah.
Hey, what else is there, really?
I die every week on this show.
I keep waiting. It's just a matter of time before I get the big Highway 109 sighting. Now,
it's coming.
It's coming. Because that's like, it's the highway in the state of Washington that has the most sightings in the state, right?
And the most trees being cut down.
Right. Now, there was a questionable event that happened to me a couple years ago that I wasn't sure what ran across the road in the cold and the foggy dark. And then we went back and saw that there was a dead deer there. But the arm swing, and it was blonde, and it was just odd. I can't say, hey, I saw a Sasquatch there. I've been around them in Southern Oregon and whatnot. But, you know, I wanted one right out my bedroom window.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting. It's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen. You know, we have it's an area where there are a lot of sightings. A lot of people have mentioned seeing them run across the road or seeing a Bigfoot standing on the side of the road. It's an area where there's tents. Well, there used to be tents for
yeah,
us.
Not anymore.
So they've cut most of the trees down. So as the habitat for all of these creatures becomes smaller, I think we're going to see more and more of them.
Or they're just going to move somewhere.
Yeah, they could move further north. You know, they could move up. I think that's why they like to live up on the Quinault Reservation, because, you know, the Quinaults are not cutting down all the trees and destroying the habitat.
Why are these bears and these cougars in our backyard? They must be multiplying too much. We got to go kill them because there's too many of them. I don't know.
So
I'm a little overly critical. I'm
sorry. We've destroyed their homes, and then we wonder why they come looking for us.
Yeah. They got to settle the score.
Yeah.
They
got to beef.
Anything exciting go on with you? Any dying? Any ghosts?
No, but I've had this odd sensation in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I can't really put my finger on it.
You know, they make ointment for that.
I know. And I have some. So. it's like I feel like I'm being watched.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, it's that just that sensation that somebody's kind of watching.
Yeah.
You know, especially at night.
Creepy.
There's definitely been more just movement around the area.
And
I don't know if it's deer or coyotes.
Tweakers.
Tweakers. But, you know, just a feeling. It's not, I don't have anything to pin it on.
Right.
Nothing specific, but it's just a sensation that I haven't had living out there because I live in kind of a remote area.
Right.
And there isn't a whole lot out there, but more and more, I mean, they've built, just in the last few years, they've built probably, you know, 20, 25 houses out there in my area.
Right.
So it's growing. And that might just be the sense that I'm having is
yeah.
that it's getting more crowded and there's more people, there's more cars. And, you know, I'm used to living in a place where there's no cars at night and not many during the day. So, especially in the wintertime.
Why do you think that most don't see that there poses a potential problem here?
What?
With just expanding and more and more and more people and more people and more people. And does any, am I the only one that sees a possible problem here when we're out of space, we're out of everything?
There's tons being written about it, about our overpopulation.
So why do we not feel the obligation to, like, do something about it?
That's a good question, because... In China, you know, they did something about their overpopulation.
Right.
By limiting the number of children you could have.
Yeah.
But, of course, it hasn't dramatically reduced their population.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this whole business of birth control and controlling population is not a popular one because people want the freedom to have a family and have children. You know, and we kind of look at that as part of the American dream. But in reality... people are living longer,
mm-hmm.
which means that they're taking up space longer,
mm-hmm.
and more people are having children. So at some point, the land can no longer support the population. And if we keep cutting the trees down and destroying the land, it's going to get worse and worse. So now the problem is we're starting to build houses on land that we used to grow food on.
Mm-hmm.
That was either used for crops or for cattle, you know, or livestock. So there's less of that and more people to consume it.
Right.
So it's
and we overconsume.
And we overconsume, yes. We waste a lot of stuff.
Right.
We especially food. Even just 100 years ago, they didn't have much in the way of refrigeration.
They didn't have much of anything 100 years ago.
And so people bought their fresh food on a regular basis, on a day-to-day basis. We didn't have refrigerators and freezers and stuff back then. We like our luxuries, and having a refrigerator and a freezer and a pantry full of food is important to people. It gives them security.
Oh, now I'm all bummed out. Thanks.
Sorry. Life is strange.
So I have not seen that TV show, Project Blue Book, yet. I've heard about it.
I have.
You've seen it.
I've watched both episodes where they've had two episodes so far.
Now, is this based on actual events or no?
Well, it says based on actual events in the beginning of it. And back in the... Not sure exactly when it was. It might have been the 60s or early 70s. There was a television show that was similar that talked about...
What was it called? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it might have just been called Project Blue Book. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Which is basically what this one is called.
Right.
And it's on the History Channel. I think it's well done. I mean, it's entertaining and it's thought-provoking, but it's clearly... dramatized a little bit, you know. They've got to make it entertaining.
Right.
What I did like was after this week's episode, or maybe it was last week's, I don't know, I record them, so I watch them when I get time late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the episode, they talked a little bit more about the facts of the case.
Okay.
You know, which weren't necessarily the same as the dramatized facts that they showed on the show.
They actually talk about it.
But they talk about, yeah, they talk about, you know, the actual cases and stuff at the end of the show. To me, that is interesting, that they
yeah.
kind of correlate what the the premise of this show was, and then clarify the facts.
On a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best, how many stars would you give the first two episodes that you've watched?
I'd give them, out of 5 stars, I'd give them 3.5.
Okay.
Maybe okay. 4.
Oh, wow.
I will watch it again. I'm fascinated by it. You know, of course, it's set, you know, back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when Project Blue Book apparently began.
That's when Project Blue Book began, yeah. And, so, it's interesting. I think one of the things that makes it fun is all the old cars and,
yeah.
And the clothes and the old houses and so, and we get to see a little bit about how people lived back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but...
Wasn't that your time?
I lived back in the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it was. It was an interesting time. You know, we talk about the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
But those were also the days of duck and cover.
Right.
Constant nuclear threat. You know, we had, in the previous decade, we had dropped atomic bombs on Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And the time probably wasn't as idyllic as we would like to think. There were all kinds of scams, you know, playing on people's fears.
Right.
You know, building them bomb shelters. And then, of course, there was the people that liked to stockpile food and
mm-hmm.
things for fear of the end of the earth. Is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, if it gets that bad, I really don't want to be here.
Right.
So, I don't know. They want to survive, but I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
So, you know, life is precious to a certain degree. But when life becomes so hard to live, that it's intolerable, the other thing that they don't grasp, I think, these survivalists, is that it's not just about having food and water and shelter, but disease will run rampant. There will be all kinds of problems. There'll be crime. It will just be a madhouse. You just can't sit in your little bunker for 20 years waiting for it all to settle down.
Why not?
Well, because it's just not feasible. I guess you could.
Yeah, my mom remembers in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, having school drills, like the bomb kind of nuclear drills.
Yeah, we used to have them when I was a kid in school. Yeah, the only thing the duck and cover program accomplished was that if the bomb had dropped, you would die in the fetal position rather than sitting
right.
up. So, yeah, I mean, it was rather foolish to think that getting under your school desk was going to protect you from a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of foolish things taught in school, but I guess that's another show, isn't it?
Yeah.
What? So I've been, I took some notes here from the last week, and I ran into some information about Albert Perry. Albert Perry's an African-American man, and what he did is he wanted, you know, those services to where you could send in cheek swab or, you know, a little poke of blood to see your history, your bloodline,
your DNA
history,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, he did that.
Yeah.
Technicians discovered that his blood contained a Y chromosome with a genetic signature like very, 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 very few. And this Y chromosome is the hereditary determining factor from the male sex. His most recent common ancestor from his lineage was roaming the earth 338,000 years ago.
Wow.
Most guys can trace their Y chromosome back to a common male ancestor labeled Adam around 60,000 to 100,000 years ago. I have so many questions about this. First, it's like, okay, well, why are these DNA scientists keeping... You know, it's not really common knowledge about this rare Y chromosome, and they're all telling us, oh, well, we started doing what we're doing 60 to 100,000 years ago, not telling us about this 338,000 years ago human, his DNA is almost twice as old as any fossil on record for Homo sapiens. Does that make sense to you?
That's pretty interesting. Why do you think that his DNA shows that and other people's doesn't?
Well, his bloodline, his lineage is from a different time. This is what's confusing scientists. They're questioning everything that's been known about the time and location of the first people on Earth, right?
Well, but yeah, and if you believe in evolution, then we all essentially would go back to one or two.
But that's not the case here. That's why they're questioning everything. And now they're asking, okay, were there civilizations before the alleged era of Adam and Eve? I talk about the Sumerians a lot.
Yes.
I really dig them. I don't know why we're not taught much about them in schools. We're taught a whole crap load about the ancient Egyptians and ancient Greeks and this and that. And the Sumerians were here before all those guys, right?
Right.
Oh, well, they created an alphabet, and then boom, they're gone. We know
so much
more.
What happens when you start talking to one another?
They found this king's list in the Sumerian cuneiforms, 266,000 years of king's list. Now, modern science believes that the first humans like us came around less than 200,000 years ago.
There are no humans like us.
Right. They also believe that the first civilizations with kings, urban areas, social organizations started only 6,000 to 7,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Back when the Sumerians did these texts, they didn't do these as a hobby. When they wrote something in these stone cuneiform tablets, it's where we get the phrase written in stone.
Right.
We get that from the Sumerians because when something was important, they wrote it in stone. They baked it on these clay tablets and made these stamp
things. And it wasn't
things.
Rewritable.
Right. It wasn't rewritable. Plus, I've said this before, I sound like a freaking broken record. We use more than 200 things invented by the Sumerians to this day. Stamps, beer, the first forms of government, cities with streets and multi-story buildings. Sumerians did all this stuff. You know, we think we're so great, and oh, look at us, how advanced we are. But anyway, these guys were highly civilized and advanced. What's so incredible about this king's list? It gives the reign of kings in Shars. Shars is about 3,600 years. Like, King Alalim actually ruled for 10 Shars. In human years, that would be 36,000 years. But it's not just the Sumerian king's list, but the Egyptian king's list. So if Albert's DNA dates back to close to 300,000 years, then why do these creation stories come from a later time?
Well, now we have Lucy, the oldest, one of the oldest.
Right, I remember
Lucy. Ever found. It says it's dated to about 3.2 million years ago.
But that's a different, we're talking civilized man.
Organized civilization.
Crop growing.
Societal.
Because we go from hunters-gatherers, and then all of a sudden, we're growing crops.
Right.
Boom, just like that. So one theory based on the tablets, when these gods arrived on Earth, from what the tablets state, they reigned on Earth for thousands of years. Now, elements of the story are on the Zohar, the Nabagadi texts as well, which basically tell the same story, and the same version as the Sumerian version. They enslaved mankind. Human beings must behave, not think too much, and most of all, not see that there's another reality to what is said. Now, they have a text of Eden. It's a curious scene. It describes humans specially created to work in the garden. But at some point, in order to enforce their laws, the gods place humans in front of them. And they make them pledge allegiance. They impose their views on mankind. And through this oath, in which humanity commits, humans forbid themselves to ever be free. Some believe to this day that we're still under this oath. We're still enslaved, right? So when you look at the king's list, the more recent part of the list corresponds nicely with historic record. So when you look at the king's list in its entirety, you go all the way back to the alleged origin of the Anunnaki on Earth, tinkering with our DNA, starting 250,000 years ago about. And then supposedly when you get into the Sumerian doctrine, again, that we were created as a slave race of approximately 250,000 years ago, and it was Enki. He was a god that had compassion for us. He loved us. His brother didn't. His brother saw us as slaves, and if they die, so what? And it was the battle of the two brothers, right, which is a Sumerian story, Enki versus Enlo, I think his name was, and Enki loved us, Enlo didn't. He didn't care, really.
I know people like that.
But it was Enki who created us this way to be able to reproduce. Prior to that, we were sterile. We weren't able to reproduce. So if the lifespan of their early kings were, you know, 36,000 years, something in our evolution changed 12,500 years ago. In the book of Genesis, God says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his day shall be 120 years. So did we live longer and then get shortened back? You know, I mean, we'd be lucky to hit 120 years, but there was a gal just a few years ago that got to 122 years old, and they wanted her DNA to trace that back and see if there was any correlation.
But you're talking about words in the Bible.
Words
the
in the Bible.
The Bible was written by...
But also Sumerian cuneiform tablets, texts, which are thousands of years older.
Right.
Some of them sync up. The story of Eden. They found Eden, according to the Sumerians' version of Eden.
Yeah.
And they talk about Adam also, and the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. But Eden is kind of a mythical place which symbolizes...
According to the Bible.
Well, but it symbolizes, what Eden symbolizes is the beginning of man, the beginning of human life.
And this
life.
Eden is the beginning of man from the gods Enki and Enlo, who created them to work in the Garden of Eden. So we think we've evolved so much, but actually, you know, Sumer, cradle of civilizations, what started there still in place in our modern world. Measuring time, 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour, 24 hours, they started that.
Yeah.
How we structure our cities, plumbing, streets, buildings, straight from Sumerian backgrounds, which pops up out of nowhere. We go from hunters-gatherers, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Technology.
We're this great culture that harvests crops, and now they're saying cereal or seeds, grains, changed out of the blue. Just boom. We're all of a sudden just harvesting crops anyway. Development of a money system. The roles of men and women in society hasn't really changed from Sumer. The written history in Sumer is not what we read in our textbooks. Conspiracy. But we found the tablets where the Sumers wrote, you know, what they knew. And
right.
Anyway, that's all I got.
So where do you think we came from?
I don't know. I'm being brought here as gold slaves kind of makes more sense than some of the things that I've been told.
Well, do you think that we are a crop grown to feed and support another civilization?
I don't know about that.
You know, that was our original purpose.
Not to feed someone else, but to work for someone else.
Or work for someone else.
Maybe.
You know, to provide labor.
It's in there in the possible explanations.
So what other explanations do we have?
Let's see. We got to take a break. Coming up, we'll talk more about this.
Okay.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and before the break, we were talking about Albert Perry, his DNA. Technicians discovered it contained a Y chromosome with a genetic structure, a signature from his lineage that was roaming the earth 338,000 years ago. They say every dog on earth came from the wolf.
Right.
So there were like just two wolves here.
That's what they say.
I mean, I think that's amazing that they could just come to that conclusion.
And who are they?
The technicians and the scientists and the people who research, the researchers. Anyway, so you asked me how many possibilities or explanations. Let's see, we have aliens brought us here as slaves. We have God created Adam and Eve, and then they just kept inbreeding and inbreeding and inbreeding, and here we are.
Right.
There's the, we evolved from monkeys, right?
That's what they say.
What other explanations of how we got here?
So if we evolved from monkeys, you know, where's that place where we evolved from?
Why are there still monkeys if we evolved from monkeys?
Well, because not all monkeys evolve. It's like all human beings don't, you know, grow and change. They're born stupid, they stay stupid.
That's the truth.
Wow. Well, here's an interesting thing.
Yeah?
And this is today.
Okay.
This is a piece that just came out today.
Okay.
And was announced today.
Was it today?
Researchers announced the discovery of the fossil estimated as 177,000 to 194,000 years old, and said the teeth bore telltale traits of Homo sapiens not present in close human relatives alive at the time, including Neanderthals. Now, this is interesting because these remains were not found in Africa. So
right.
This is the first, what they're saying may be, the first set of remains, or even partial remains, found outside of Africa. Okay, so we know based on scientific research that human beings began, that our evolution began in Africa. That we stem from some source there. So I guess the question is, how do these humans or these Homo sapien-like beings end up outside of Africa? This was found in Israel. So,
well, could it have been a time where the continents were closer together, land bridge, blah blah
yeah,
blah?
Well, that's a good thought. So basically, what they're concluding from this is that some form of migration of these human-like beings began about 220,000 years ago. So,
but we have a guy from a lineage that's
over 300,000 years.
Yeah, almost 3,500 years ago.
But the migration was 220,000. They obviously existed prior to that.
Right, right,
elsewhere.
Right. Now, I wonder if because of, like, the Tepe area and the more that we learn about the Sumerians and the cuneiform text that isn't fitting what science has been telling us to where they're doubting things, that could they, how do I say this, alter things to fit their narrative? Okay, all of a sudden we discover all these things that contradicts everything or a lot of what they've been telling us. Because they're science, they're mainstream science, and it has to be, you know, cookie cutter and what they say. So all of a sudden we make these discoveries. Wow, it's nothing of what, like, science has been telling us. This is crazy. There's these civilizations hundreds of thousands of years ago, and we're supposedly hunter-gatherers hunting with just rocks and clubs, and here we are with these articulate civilizations. Science didn't tell us this. They've been telling us this different story. And so they're trying to come up with things. Oh, well, we got
to... Well, that's the interesting thing about science is that science is based on the evidence that they have.
Right.
So when new evidence becomes available, they can come up with a new hypothesis of what happened and then try to prove it. That's the scientific method.
Right.
So we try to prove what we know based on the evidence and facts that we have. If we have facts and evidence that say that we know man existed 200,000 years ago, or in the case of Lucy, 3.2 million years ago, then we have to go back and apply the scientific method to those new facts and come up with a new conclusion.
What I'm saying is, could they deviate?
Come up with a conclusion that's not based on facts?
and try to pass it off as facts?
They could.
Okay. Just
sure.
Wondering.
Sure. I mean, you know, they're the ones creating it. I'm sure that, you know, somebody that could say all these things and have some false facts could write a book, make a lot of money. It would be profitable.
Right.
To do so. So, yeah, there can be fakes out there for sure. And there has been. I mean, that, you know, if that was the case, it wouldn't be the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, the scientists who have some integrity find
What's this integrity in which you speak?
I know, it's rare in this world. But, you know, those scientists then expose the ones that are faking it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get better information. Throughout my lifetime, even as a young child, this thought about trying to find that missing link, the link between humans and primates. Now we have Bigfoot, which also has existed throughout my lifetime. But think about it. I mean, if Bigfoot is an evolved species that was not quite as evolved as humans, but more evolved than primates.
One of the theories, and I think this might be Ascension one, Zachariah Ascension, I could be mistaken though, is that the gods, in this case Enki and Elon or whatever the other dude, the one that didn't like us, took the native inhabitants of this planet, Sasquatch, and combined their DNA, the Sasquatch, with the gods' DNA and created us. Just a theory.
It's a theory.
Just a messenger. Just relaying the message.
So when did this happen?
Last week? No. However many hundreds, thousands, millions years ago. Just theory.
There are lots of theories out there.
Zachariah Sitchin.
That's why we have science.
Right.
Science can take a theory and test that theory
mm-hmm.
with the facts that we have. Now, of course, sometimes new facts come up that either disprove the new theory or disprove the old theory. And that's why theories stay theories until they're proven. That's why it's so important to learn about science. Because it's science that brings us reality. Science fiction brings us the unreal part of science. But science itself is very exacting. And there are people that work very, very hard, that have a lot of integrity, that spend huge amounts of times, some lifetimes, trying to prove or disprove a single theory. Sometimes they succeed and sometimes they don't. If a theory can't become fact until it can be proven, and that the results of that proof have to be duplicatable. So it's not just somebody coming up and saying, this is the theory, and this is what I think, based on my information, what makes that theory a fact or a truth. It takes more than one person to say that, and more than one person testing the theory. And it takes reaching a conclusion more than once. We have to be able to repeat whatever methods that we use to prove that, we have to be able to repeat it, to apply that over and over again, to repeat those results. In the case of, like, Bigfoot, right now, Bigfoot, we don't have enough, we have evidence, we have a lot of evidence that indicates that Bigfoot exists. But the evidence isn't always 100% conclusive. So now what we need not just people who are out there gathering evidence, but we need scientists to sort through that evidence and to determine how much of the evidence is viable and how much is not. And based on the viable evidence, what can we conclude from that? can we find other evidence that supports those conclusions? I think that we're probably close having incontrovertible proof that Bigfoot exists. I think that we're getting much closer to having incontrovertible proof that other civilizations visit our planet. And of course this is my belief, is that we are entering an age of enlightenment. Everything that's going on, all the strife and the chaos that's going on in the world today, is basically standard operating procedure for human beings. In order to achieve change, we must first experience chaos. So, in order for us to move to a more enlightened era, we have to experience the chaos, resolve the chaos, and then we can move forward. And I think that we're on the verge of doing that. I think we're on the verge of having a far greater understanding. And I don't mean religious understanding or political understanding. I mean scientific understanding of who we are, why we're here, what is our place in the universe, how we interact with one another, how we interact with other players in the universe. Now, when I say getting close to that, I don't mean like, you know, next Thursday. You know, I'm talking maybe we're still probably 50 years or more away from that. It isn't going to happen in my lifetime, and probably not in the lifetime of most of our listeners. But if we don't work towards that, if we don't start to open our eyes and resolve the chaos now, then it isn't going to happen for a much longer time. So we are the pioneers. We are the pioneers of the Enlightenment. We're the people that are going to understand why we're here. We're going to understand our purpose. We're going to understand how we got here. We're going to understand the history of human beings, the origin of human beings. We're going to understand the origin of the universe. But we are the pioneers. We are the ones to take the first step. We are the ones whose DNA will evolve to be a better, kinder, more functional, more intelligent human race.
So am I supposed to take that hand off there?
Yeah. You're supposed to say something wise.
Oh, right. I think we'll have a major cataclysmic event that wipes most of humanity from the planet before that happens.
Such a positive thinker.
You know what? When you read the stupid people report that I read every day on my show, they far outnumber critical thinkers.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's critical thinkers that move us forward.
Right. And there's just not enough. There's too many non-critical thinkers for the critical thinkers to move forward. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. It becomes harder.
It's like one person trying to move 5,000 pounds by themselves.
And that's why education is so important. If we can get people hooked on learning, and, you know, I mean, we got to throw away all this man-made stuff like religion and the Bible and all that, because it just is, it's mythical. You know, there's so little factual information there.
That's why they call it faith, I guess.
Yeah, that you got to have faith that somebody's not yanking your chain, I guess. But, I mean, it's not that the Bible is 100% wrong. It's just that, okay, you have a book that everybody claims, I mean, the New Testament, anyway, you know, that is the word of Jesus or God. But God doesn't speak to us in language that we can easily interpret. The Bible was written 200 years after Jesus died. Do you know what happens to a story when it gets passed on over and over for 200 years? Do you think it stays the same? Do you think it doesn't get embellished? And then on top of all that, the original Bible was written in Aramaic, a very obscure language that basically by the time it was written, that language was dead. So it then had to be interpreted. And there are currently over 3,000 versions of that same Bible.
And didn't King James rewrite it too?
Yeah, King James. I mean, it's been rewritten and reinterpreted. It's been interpreted into different languages, you know, and each language has slightly different meanings for certain words. When we get real, when we get scientific about it, the Bible is philosophy. I love some of the stories in the Bible because the philosophy behind them is valid. The problem is that we as human beings tend to take it literally. You know, we don't understand that the Bible is, the stories are metaphorical. They're not literal. That means that, you know, there's a moral to the story. They can help us to behave in a certain way. But of course, we as human beings want to interpret those words in a way that matches our behavior rather than matching our behavior to the message. In my book, I write about the fact that Jesus, along with quite a number of other prophets or philosophers, messengers of God, have come to share this information with us, to be messengers from the universe, messengers of God, messengers of what it's like to be a spiritual person or a spirit person. The universe, when we are born, a spirit enters our body. That's, you know, it can happen immediately. It could happen within days. And I think there are some that never get a spirit. But I used to not believe that. I used to believe that all living things had a spirit. And I don't believe that anymore. I used to believe that there was no such thing as evil, that there were just people who did evil things. But now I've changed my belief in that, that there are forces of evil and that we have to fight them if we are going to have a better life. And I, you know, what I hear from people is, well, if we're all going to die and we're going to go to heaven, then why bother fighting it here? And the reason is that we are here for a purpose. Number one, our purpose is to create a society where mankind can live more peacefully. And number two, we're here to learn as a spirit so that we can grow. Spirits have to grow just like human beings. They have to learn. If a human being doesn't learn anything in the course of their life, they just remain a child, an ignorant child. They wouldn't learn to speak or communicate. They probably wouldn't live long. It's the same way with a spirit. Spirit has to learn new things constantly in order to grow, in order to have more experiences in the universe. A spirit lives hundreds, thousands, if not millions of times longer than a human being. So technically, in the life of a spirit, it's only with us for a short time. Seems like a long time to us, but it's a very short time. And that spirit has to learn something. If it doesn't learn, in other words, if we don't learn to behave in a certain way, then our spirit, part of our consciousness, it's not all of our consciousness, but it's part of our consciousness, it won't advance. It won't become a more advanced spirit. Then it will have to do it over again until it can learn, until it can grow. We are, each of us have a unique spirit. Our personalities are reflective of that spirit. But when we ignore the spirit, when we choose not to communicate with it, when we choose not to understand it, it's detrimental to the spirit and to our continued life. So we can continue to suffer, or we can find ways to eliminate our suffering.
Well, on that new age hooey, No, we're running out of time.
That's too bad. I could talk for days.
Oh, so. I know. So, I've reached out to Steve Boucher.
Yeah.
He has a pretty remarkable alien abduction story. He actually has a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I've reached out to him to see if he could maybe come on the show and talk about his experiences. He's Canadian, eh?
Hey, we'd love to have him, eh?
I will post something on the Facebook page or on the website or both about him and his story. But it would be cool to ask him questions and stuff, right?
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to hear what he has to say.
So hopefully he'll return my inquiry. You know, some don't.
That's because they listen to the show.
These dang UFO researchers that I bring to the UFO summit, most of them are great and they're responsive, but some of like the bigger names, they're the biggest jerks. They don't care about the guests at all, and they're not professional.
Right.
With, you know, doing this kind of stuff.
Sure.
They're just like, oh, well, I'm on TV, so who cares? And it really bothers me.
It's about the money.
They
want to make a living at it.
The UFO crowd, greatest crowd I've ever dealt with. They're happy. They're appreciative. Some of the speakers are not pleasant to deal with.
I can understand that.
Anyway.
I'm a public speaker, and I go out. And I was asked last year if I would participate in a group that was going to be doing some work with near-death experiencers. And my question to them was, is this about funding your organization, or is this about helping people? Well, we got to make money. And so basically I told them I wasn't interested. If this was just about making money, I didn't want to be involved. I want to help people. That's what I do. I mean, money is so meaningless. It's nice that we have it. I mean, you have to have some to live in this world. And, you know, I'm certainly not rich. I'm not even well off. I'm hardly above average income-wise. It can't be the driving force in helping people. It's nice to get paid for helping people or to make some money. The purpose has to be in helping people, not in making money.
Oh, more New Age Tui.
Yeah, there you go again. Okay.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode. If you want to hear past episodes or email Billy here and yell at him, log on to strangeharbor.net, or you can find us on our Facebook or Twitter or iTunes.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.